From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our contributors Joe Nocera of the New York Times and Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine. Tomorrow marks the four-year anniversary of the fall of Lehman Brothers and the moment when the economy went off the cliff. Stocks went into a nosedive for months. Nest eggs were smashed. Millions lost their jobs. Yet 4 years later, with an economy still struggling to recover with very high unemployment, Wall Street has come roaring back. It's like the crash never happened. The Dow is back at levels not seen since December 2007. The S&P 500 is up 14%. And yesterday's decision by the Fed to stimulate the economy further is only going to send those numbers higher. Joe Nocera, what's going on? What does the stock market know that the rest of us don't?
Well, it's been quite a run-up. Stocks are basically doubled in a couple of years. And the honest truth is, as tough as things are here, they are tougher elsewhere. China is struggling. Europe's in terrible shape. Most other forms of investment are down. I mean, you know, do you really want to invest in real estate these days, for instance? And there's a lot of investment capital out there, and it needs to go someplace. And so it is going into U.S. stocks.
And one of the reasons that that's happened, of course, is that Ben Bernanke, through the Fed, has been pushing up those stock prices. He's been keeping interest rates low. The Fed has just announced another round of bond purchases. So by doing all of this, what you might call a bubble, inflates within the stock market.
Well, that raises a very disturbing question. What happens if, in fact, that bubble bursts? I mean, where are we going here?
Well, I think for sure the market is going to give back some of what it's gained this year. As you mentioned, we're into double-digit gains for the year, despite having all the news in the real economy be pretty bad. So I wouldn't be surprised if we ended the year not up by double digits, but up by more like 5 or 6%. And I think that goes to Joe's point, that where else are you going to put your money?
And, of course, when we're talking about the stock market growth, we're really talking about a narrow sector of the economy. 75% of the stocks are owned by 10% of the people. And that raises that specter that's been so talked about in recent months, income inequality, that gap between the rich and just about everybody else. That brings up another anniversary next week. The Occupy Wall Street protests started just a few blocks from here in New York, and Justin Wiedes, one of its organizers, told us that economic inequality has only been rising since then, and, he says, the protests successfully changed the debate this election year.
Occupy Wall Street in just 1 year has really thrusted the issue of income inequality into the mainstream and into the political dialogue. And so now candidates from across the aisle on both sides are talking about the 99%.
Well, Joe, they might be talking about the 99% and the 1%, but the numbers say that inequality is increasing, median income in the United States is declining, the middle class is worse off now than a decade ago. So what have these protests actually accomplished?
Well, Jeff, you're absolutely right. In fact, new numbers from the census show that household median income dropped 4% in 2011. That's a pretty big drop. You know, Occupy did give us this memorable phrase, the 99%. And there's not much doubt that people talk about income inequality as a given in a way that perhaps they didn't before. On the other hand, you know, there were two angry movements that came out of this recession. One was the Tea Party on the right, and one was Occupy on the left. The Tea Party's response to their anger was to get involved in electoral politics and start electing congressmen and senators who agreed with them. And that has had a profound effect on our country and our government. Occupy Wall Street, on the other hand, gave us a slogan, sat in a park for a couple of months, and then more or less disbanded. So if you were to ask me which has been the more effective of the angry groups of Americans, I would say Tea Party hands down.
If the Occupy protests have, as Joe says, essentially fizzled out, if Wall Street is up, if money's flowing into political campaigns and lobbying efforts, you could look at Wall Street and say, nothing's really changed. Is that right?
Well, I don't think that's right. I think that you've seen a lot of changes in finance. Profitability of the major banks is way down from where it was a few years ago. They've laid off a lot of people, and the banks are going to be split up. I mean, the regulators are after them. We've seen a lot of aggression on the part of Gary Gensler, for example, who heads up the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. We're probably going to see more action if he's put in charge of the SEC next year. And I think we are headed towards an era of smaller banks, which is a big change.
Well, as we look back to the anniversary 4 years ago, we look ahead as we always do to next week. With me again, Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine. Joe Nocera of the New York Times. Rana?
Well, like everyone, I've been watching the chaos in the Middle East, and I think if this continues over the next few weeks, A, I'm worried about oil prices and where those might be going and what effect that's going to have on the economy in the U.S. and all over the world. I'm also concerned about the prospects of economic opportunity in the Arab world. I mean, if you remember, the Arab Spring was about opportunity. It was about hopes that things could get better, and I hope that what we're seeing is not those being stymied.
Joe, shuffle the tarot cards. What do you see?
Well, Jeff, what's on my agenda is the Chicago Teachers Union strike. And my question is a simple one. Could it be settled quickly, perhaps as quickly as next week? There's a lot of anger on both sides, and that might seem pretty implausible right now. But there are dangers for both sides in this strike. For the union, you know, they're not fighting over money. They're fighting over whether they should be held to performance standards based on standardized tests. Teachers unions tend to hate that, but the country as a whole likes it. And there's a danger, if they go on too long, that they will lose the country and that they will ultimately hurt public unions and teachers unions in general. For the president, believe it or not, this holds some risk as well. He's from Chicago. His chief of staff is now the mayor of Chicago, and Chicago is where he's from. He also needs desperately unions and teachers to vote for him. So if the strike goes on too long, it's a reminder to unions and teachers that, you know, maybe President Obama is more on the side of his former chief of staff than he is on their side.
We'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast, available at no cost on iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.